Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Everybody, welcome back to another edition of The Teardown. My name is Jeff Gluck, and I'm along with my coworker Jordan Bianchi. We are writers for The Athletic, and we wish you a very happy Thanksgiving week, as that is finally upon us. It feels like an eternity for Thanksgiving to arrive this year, because usually, you know, it's, at least in the past, the NASCAR season has often ended, and you know, it's like it ends that Sunday, Monday, you know, we'd fly home from Homestead or something, and then that Thursday is Thanksgiving. This year, it ended a couple weeks before, and it's just been like, wait, when's Thanksgiving? Is Thanksgiving ever going to happen? Finally, Thanksgiving week is upon us, Jordan. So, sure, as a lover of holidays, you're probably happy about that.
Thanksgiving is the one holiday I actually don't mind. There's no pressure. You don't have to worry about gifts and all that mumbo jumbo. It's a real straightforward holiday. Though turkey is completely overrated, so other than that, I like the holiday.
Okay, well, Thanksgiving, my favorite meal of the year, so I'm very excited about it, even though not traveling this year for the big meal, but fortunately, my parents live here in Colorado, so we're just going to do a get-together with them, and we'll still eat all the traditional things about Thanksgiving.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving meal, Thanksgiving?
Like
dish, thank you.
So I'm a kind of person, I don't know about you guys out there, but I make some huge mashups. So like I go around, I'll put everything on my plate, like the turkey, the stuffing, the cranberries, the sweet potatoes, the gravy, whatever, mashed potatoes, whatever. Anyway, then I just kind of like mash it, sort of like heap it all together, and I'm like eating it. I want all the flavors, the Thanksgiving flavors, that, like mashed up.
I do that too. Like I mix the corn with the mashed potatoes, and I'll put the gravy on there and some turkey, and yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Well, you know, in case you are doing a get together and you guys are NASCAR fans, which I assume you are since you're listening to this, maybe you want some funny moments to rehash during the conversation at your Thanksgiving table. You want to talk about, man, remember when this happened in this crazy 2020 year? Yes, there was a lot of crappy stuff in the world this year, but there was also some funny, lighthearted moments. And Jordan and I are here to rehash those moments. So our assignment was, that we gave ourselves anyway, we went through, we picked the five, what we thought are the five funniest moments of 2020 NASCAR season. However, we have not compared notes on this at all. So this is not going to be like a debate like it was on last week's episode where we debated the top five races of the year. This is going to be, we each picked five funny moments, we ranked them. Maybe we'll repeat, or maybe we'll have 10, you know, total moments, like five different moments each. I have no idea what we'll come up with. I mean, at first glance, I don't feel like there was a ton of like hilarious things that happened this year, especially because we weren't at the track. So you're, you know, and the one day shows, you're not getting as much, you know, sort of like the Friday practice wackiness, or, you know, quotes in the media center or something like that. But I feel like I came up with five ones that at least made me laugh or chuckle. So hopefully you did the same, Jordan. Do you feel decent about your list?
Yeah, I kind of noticed the same thing going through it. There wasn't as many moments or lightheartedness as I remember, or at least there doesn't seem to be that much compared to past years, and certainly not as many quotes. You know, usually, like you say, you know, there's a lot of media sessions throughout the course of a weekend, and you get some pretty good sound bites, or you know, that kind of thing. And there's just, I going through it, I didn't feel like there was that many at all. I actually don't have any quotes on my list at all this year.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that as a total side note before we get started here. I did on The Athletic this year, I did a preseason all quote team. I picked some drivers who I thought were going to be the best quotes of the year, and I was going to go back and revisit who were the five drivers who gave you know, the best quotes or whatever, like the most reliable for media, you know, to get good material and stuff like that. But as you pointed out, this wasn't really a year where you could get that kind of stuff. I mean, there was a lot of Zoom sessions, but the Zooms were mostly pretty stale, and you know, there wasn't too much personal interaction or lightheartedness or people going off on anybody like that. You know, we were like, "Ooh, that's good." You know, somebody giving their opinion. So you know, and without us being at the track and in the infields and getting to interview these guys in person up until the last weekend, anyway. You know, it just wasn't the same. So I can't even really go back to that list. And I was even thinking at the beginning of the year, oh, we'll do a best quotes of the year podcast too. But that's I don't think that's going to happen. But there was enough funny moments to make a podcast, at least I think. So Jordan, why don't you give your five first, and we'll talk through each one, and then I will give my five, and we'll see how they compare.
All right, number five on my list is Kyle Busch forgetting to bow when he won at Texas, which to me kind of summarized his year in general, which was just a frustrating, maddening year. We heard it a lot, him say, it's 2020, and Kyle Busch finally wins a race, which is something that we never thought we would talk about, and he had to be reminded to bow, which I just thought was funny.
That was funny. You're right. I mean, it really, and it kind of symbolized how he wasn't himself, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't in his normal groove, like you said, and had such a bad year. He wasn't even thinking, "Oh yeah, I do this after every race that I win." So yeah, that's, I mean, talk about a brain fart, or just being so in the moment of, "Oh my gosh, I won! I actually won a race when I didn't think I was going to." Because I mean, he had said all year, like even the week before, a couple weeks before, "Well, we're not going to win." Right after he got eliminated from the playoffs, "We're not going to win a race." You know, our chances. You know, and he did. So I guess he was so caught up in it that he just forgot. What's your number four moment? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and he compared that win too to winning a championship, which kind of underscores just how important it was to him. And I think you're right. And it just, he was caught up just in the fact that he had finally won after thinking he was not going to do it. So kind of, you know, symbolic of his year in general. Number four on my list is Matt D doing iRacing almost naked, no pants on. Remember that?
Oh, okay. Okay.
And it's probably because NASCAR Chasm has used it so many times on Twitter and everything. To me, every time I look at that, it kind of underscores the absurdity of some things that were going on at that time, and in the newness of the iRacing thing. And you know, you had Alex Bowman and his dog, you know, blaming his dog. And I've got another one on my list from the iRacing too that we'll get to. Actually, I'll just, you know, say number three on my list is Denny Hamlin's daughter turning off his machine in the middle of a race. So you know, it's kind of the iRacing thing in general, which was great. I liked it, and we're gonna see more of it next year. It's just, there was just a lot of goofy little moments that came out of that.
Yeah, you're right. And we'll talk about more of that, because I have some iRacing on my list too. But especially, I think at the time, you know, I just think if some of this stuff happened now, like after all the iRacing that we saw, and we got kind of, I mean, to me, I kind of got tired of it. Like, okay, let's get some real racing. You know, I think everybody was kind of, you know, you remember the drivers, a lot of them opted out of like the last week of it or whatever. And then I think maybe Fox didn't do one the last weekend or something, or they just pulled the plug. Right the weekend before the season was supposed to resume, if my memory's correct. And you know, I think everybody just kind of gotten tired of it. The ratings had started to go down, but you know, at first, I mean, we're all stuck at home. I mean, that was the heart of the lockdown. Everybody is sort of desperate for some normalcy, and it, you know, it wasn't even a new normal yet. It was just like, oh my gosh, we have nothing to watch, there's nothing on TV. And that was so new and fun and funny. I think at the time, some of those moments now, I mean, if they said, okay, let's do an off-season iRacing series, and you know, Denny Hamlin's daughter does something, or you know, Matt D doesn't wear a shirt or whatever, okay, he's racing in his underwear. You'd be like, all right, okay, you know. But at the time, I mean, it really was, that was some funny stuff, and I could see why you put that on your list.
Yes. Number two on my list, and this is, I don't know, maybe I'm sick and twisted, but the whole Texas race weekend where they had just the mist that wouldn't end, and it lasted for 3 days. I just look back on that as that was so absurd, and I just can't help but chuckle. I feel bad about it.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you put that on your list.
I did, and I feel bad about it because I mean I wasn't in Texas, and thankfully, but I wasn't there.
Oh my god, that is. I hope nobody who is at Texas hears. Here's the Jordan thought that was hilarious because
in retrospect, like I said, it's absurd and it was just weird. Like I said, it's a little sick. I understand that. But I mean, we just had this. If you look at the radar on that Sunday, there was no green on the radar. It wasn't raining, but they had this mist that just hung over the track. And it was just weird. And you thought, remember on Monday, we thought we might have a window to race. And then didn't they fire up the engines or something? And then more rain came, or just something silly happened, and then I don't know. It was so goofy and weird, and it just I'm sorry. I just thought I look back at it now and I can chuckle.
You could chuckle, yeah. I still have whatever that year was, 07 or whatever, when Michigan got delayed twice.
Michigan.
This was a way worse delay than that. I wasn't there, thankfully. This was, you know, all year long we were. At least I was. Well, you both of us. I mean, we're like, man, I wish we were at the track more.
Yeah.
You know, I wish we got to travel just because of the pandemic. And obviously, even if we were there, we couldn't have done anything. But imagine if we had gone to Texas race weekend, we'd been stuck in the press box, unable to move around. I mean, at least in a normal rain delay in the media center, you can kind of like go outside for a minute or walk to other parts of the media center or walk through the garage if the rain's let up or walk out to pit road, look at the track, see how track drying's going, whatever. Talk with people, go into somebody's holler and, you know, shoot the bull for a while or something. But I mean, this would have been everybody on lockdown, wearing a mask for, you know, all the time at the track for days and days, not knowing when you go home, wondering if this race is going to get moved. I mean, oh my gosh, no, I don't. Oh my gosh, I bet people are going to get mad at you. Somebody was there for saying that you think that's funny.
Yeah, and again, my opinion of this would have changed completely if I was there. And it was just so absurd and so odd. It just, in retrospect, like I said, I'm laughing now because I think it's funny.
Number one funniest moment of the year?
Chase Elliott walking back onto the track at Darlington after Kyle Busch had turned him into the inside wall and giving Kyle Busch the finger.
It was a beautiful finger. The way he had an amazing methodology to his finger. He, you know, he kind of walks out there and he waits for Kyle to come and he just sticks it right out and he just, it's like a tracking thing. Like it just, he just follows him around with it as Kyle goes by. Like it was very, I mean, the form on that, as far as a middle finger form, that was textbook middle finger form.
It was really good and really out of character too for Chase, because we never really have seen that from him before. So I think that kind of makes me chuckle. And part of that too was how his, you know, Alan Gustafson, his crew chief, and the other members of his team kind of responded to that. Remember they went down on pit road and just like stared at Kyle Busch as he sat in his car.
And absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and we thought, and I remember watching this going, are we going to see a brawl? And, you know, we're supposed to have social distancing and everything, and I really thought we're going to see, like, some kind of brawl. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah, I know.
It was good. To me, honestly, it was the first time we really have seen, I don't know how to say this without, it was really some personality from Chase, a different side of him that we don't really
get to
see. We
saw some color from him.
Yeah.
There. Yeah.
And absolutely. I think that was, you know, part of it, too, is like, wow, wait a second, this is cool. This is a side of Chase we don't see. And, you know, he's standing up for himself a little bit. And that's because that's kind of been the rap on him a little bit, is he's, you know, somebody maybe you can bully on the racetrack a little bit. And all of a sudden he's kind of doing this. And then as an aside, and something I did have on my list originally and then I knocked it off, was him a couple weeks later when he won the Truck Series race at Charlotte, he did the Kyle Busch bow.
Yep. Yeah.
So it was just, you know, it was kind of this coming out party a little bit for Chase. So that to me, I just look back on that as, I don't know, it's kind of one of those moments I'd say, okay, that, and you know, in retrospect now too, is, you know, him winning the championship, everything. It just kind of feels appropriate.
So you've covered a couple of my moments, but we can go more into them. I think it's a pretty decent list you have there. So my number five is the Busch Clash, because
I forgot about that.
At the time, I actually thought it was just more just sort of a silly clown show, which it was. I just thought it was, I guess, more of like ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous that this is happening. If you guys remember, of course, it seems like a lifetime ago when things were normal. There was like a zillion wrecks. All these cars are getting taken out. At the end, there's only six cars left on the track. Some of them aren't even on the lead lap, including Denny Hamlin, who ends up pushing his completely junked wrecked teammate Eric Jones to the win. After the race, I mean, Eric Jones' car, I think like Mike Joy's call was like, with a car that's headed to the dumpster bin or something like that. It was just stupid. I mean, and everybody, I mean, I think some people were like, okay, that's good racing. That was hilariously entertaining. But to open the season, to set the stage for the Daytona 500, it wasn't anything that's going to make you go, oh, wow, I can't wait to watch Daytona 500 because of this. It was just like, oh, that is just crazy. And I think the car owners after that were like, because especially at the time, this was supposed to be, you know, we still thought the next gen was coming next year. And then everybody's like, all right, we are not running that race. We are not running that race with these cars, with these brand new cars next year. So they said, all right, even before the pandemic. I mean, because I remember we were asking people at Phoenix about it before the lockdown happened. And they announced that it was going to be on the Daytona road course before the Daytona road course had ever been run for an actual points race. We're gonna be like, all right, we're going to use the Daytona road course because we're not junking these cars. So the absurdity of that race, that might have been the last ever clash on the Daytona Oval. So that's how crazy and silly that race was, and sort of hilarious in a way as well.
I forgot about that. That's a great pull for you by you, because I completely forgot that race. I was in the scoring tower with NASCAR officials for this race, and I remember the first part of that race was actually pretty calm. And I remember being up there thinking, you know, I wanted something sexy and I want something to write, you know, for this big story I was doing. And there really wasn't much going on in the race. And I just remember sitting there going that my story is going to basically fall apart. There's nothing going on. And then all hell broke loose and just, you know, crash after crash. And I remember being up there. And I don't know if I can say this or not, but I'm going to do it anyway. I was standing behind Mike Helton during this most of the day, because I was doing this thing on Steve O'Donnell. Steve O'Donnell is right next to Mike Helton. And Mike Helton's wisecracks were hilarious. And I'd have to go back and look at my notes of what he was saying, but it was so good. It was stuff I can't repeat, but it was just listening to him and some of the officials on what was going on. It was really good. And I just remember that day kind of flipping, going, thinking, oh, this is going to be awful. I've got nothing to write. My big story just fell apart too. I've got a lot here. I don't know how I'm going to put this together.
Well, that's a good idea. I mean, first of all, that story was great. If you guys, you should go back and read Jordan's behind the scenes account of how NASCAR goes through a race weekend. You know, he tagged along for inspection and all this stuff. I think someday NASCAR should do like a live cam in the scoring tower and see the exasperated officials throw their hands up or rip on people or whatever. That would be gold. I mean, I'd watch that instead of the race.
I told NASCAR leaving that, and I said, I want to do a story. I just want to do like a Mystery Science 3000 NASCAR race with Mike Helton, because it was hilarious. It was great. And again, it was stuff I can't repeat because that was part of it, but it was really good. And it would be great to see. They would to see their reactions. That kind of thing was unfolding. It's something.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
So my number four moment is sort of more, it's more than just a moment, I guess, but all year, salty Kyle Busch my number four moment. He really, I mean, I guess we sort of laugh at his pain in a way. Sorry, Kyle. But I mean, he just had some great, when Kyle Busch gets mad or when he stuff doesn't go his way, I mean, that's when you get the really good quotes. I mean, for instance, not only did he have his, oh, it's still 2020 quotes, but you know, he'd have that salty look. So he ends up finishing fourth at the first Texas race. I believe that was June or July when they end up running that after it gotten postponed. He'd gone through the grass. He ends up finishing fourth anyway. And they say, I think Dave Burns or somebody, I can't remember who it was. They go, so Kyle, how'd you do that? You know? And that's when he goes, KFB. I was just like, oh my God, like this is so hilarious. I mean, again, I get some people obviously don't like his antics or his lack of sportsmanship at times, but from a media standpoint, I think he keeps things interesting. I don't take things personally when he gets mad at a question. I think it's interesting to you know, he's spicy and he was salty for much of this year. So I thought that was pretty some entertainment, I guess.
Yeah, no, he was good, and his radio was always entertaining. If you can listen in, I highly recommend listening to a scanner during a race because it's something, and if something happens, it's always the car is killed.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Kyle, killed. You got a dent in your We're car. Done. Car's killed.
Yeah, yeah.
That was that. He had the quip. You know, I'm thinking about this, too. We talked about comments and stuff. Didn't he say that Joey Logano had no friends or something?
Yeah, that's right. I think that's right.
So, yeah, no, Kyle was definitely... He was entertaining this year. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. So my number three moment, this comes in the immediate aftermath of what I thought was the number one race of the year. Not to spoil last week's podcast if you didn't go back and listen, but the Bristol Spring Race, Chase Elliott and Joey Logano racing for the lead, and Chase ends up sending it in there way too hard, takes them both out, and after the race really wasn't accountable at all. There was no fans there, and the Fox cameras are on pit road, and it's just sort of like this silence after the race, and they have this great shot where Logano is climbing out of his car and he's staring down at Elliott, and Elliott like won't even look at him. Like he's just kind of like looking up, looking around. Like he knows Logano's down there and he won't even turn to see. And Logano walks down there with his glasses on, looking like a dad, you know, like this older veteran guy. And you know, he's got his mask on, and Elliott's just like, oh, you know. And I think Elliott ends up saying to him, what we found out afterwards is that, you know, well, you've done it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that whole sequence was like hilariously awkward and funny. And Logano, I just thought it was funny as well that Logano now sort of being in like the veteran role, like how, you know, don't race me like that when Logano's roughed up so many people or ruffled so many feathers, I guess, over the years, to see him in that role as well, role reversal kind of thing. I just thought that whole thing was funny.
It was fun. I just remember them staring at each other in pit road, and you're just kind of waiting how this is going to unfold. And I think you make a really good point when you say it was definitely a role reversal for Logano, in that, you know, he's somebody who's usually chided for being too aggressive and kind of just shrugs it off. And yet in this instance, he was on the other end. And all he just wanted somebody to talk to him about it, which is funny because we've heard that before from other drivers. You remember Matt Kenseth was, I just want Joey to acknowledge that he did something wrong and apologize for it. And it was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there was so much, so many layers to that. I just thought that was great. By the way, I should tell you, for those who listen to this regularly, you guys know that Jordan has a very good memory, great memory even, for recalling races and details. I do not. So for me, the way I found sort of the storylines or remembered some of these moments, I searched my own tweets and I searched for ha ha, ha ha ha, ha ha ha, and LOL. And then I thought, and then I went back to see what I was reacting to and stuff like that. So that's how I found some of my tweets, or, you know, to be like, oh, yeah, I did think this was funny.
I will say that there are two things on my list, the Matt D pantless and Denny Hamlin's daughter turning. Oh, no, that was mine. The Matt D pantless was actually courtesy of NASCAR Chasm.
Good resource to have.
It is. I came up with my list, and my list felt light, and I will acknowledge that the Texas Mist thing is mine and mine alone. But I just was like, my list felt light. I feel like I was missing a couple things, or just, you know, I didn't want to make sure. So I just texted him like, hey, you know, because he's so good at this. He's got a great memory, and he's, when it comes to funny and absurd stuff, the man is a master at that. And so he gave me a couple. So I can't take any credit for all my list.
So number one and number two on my list, we've both covered in a sense already, but we'll go through them anyway. So my number two is Chase/Kyle, the couple moments in May. I actually thought this was going to sneak under the radar until you mentioned it at the end of your answer about the middle finger. But, you know, it starts with obviously Chase flipping Kyle off with his middle finger style that we mentioned. But the Kyle Busch bow to me that Chase did, that was absolutely hilarious. That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I feel like it went sort of forgotten for much of the rest of the season, but yeah. Chase Elliott wins the truck race to win the bounty. So, you know, remember there was all that talk, especially before the pandemic, the bounty, oh, who's going to, you know, Harvick started this thing, the bounty, put up money for a non-truck regular to come in. So Chase Elliott, the first time out, goes in and wins the bounty. And then it, as a salute to win the bounty, just a couple weeks after he's been wrecked, or a week, because they were doing so many races at a time back then, he does the Kyle Busch bow in front of nobody, of course, but kind of looks at the TV. And then, of course, we got to ask Kyle Busch about it later. I don't know who maybe Bob took the bullet on asking Kyle Busch about that. I can't remember. But and then Kyle Busch's response was, "That's cute." So he clearly wasn't too impressed or didn't find the humor in that. Chase then says, you know, tried to say, oh, you know, it wasn't a dig. It was just a spur of the moment thing. It was a dig, which is fine because he had been wrecked and did the middle finger stuff. But anyway, I just thought that was that was a great moment. That definitely made me laugh and definitely got a long ha 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 from me on Twitter, I believe. So my go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I like how you, I respect how you went back and researched these on Twitter though. And what, but with the, your keyword search.
Yeah. I just don't have the memory. So I need my tweets to, my tweets are sort of like, you know, we used to take notes on a notepad during the race. Now I just go back to my tweets. Even during a race, if I remember like, well, now what lap was this restart? I'll just go back and look at my tweets during the race and be like, oh yeah, there it is. It's like my live notes for myself or something if I need reference later. Anyway, so my number one was the iRacing stuff overall. It wasn't a particular moment, but especially when you had that first, those first week or two, that first like Homestead race back in March, Jimmy Johnson just like spinning and wrecking in the middle of the pack at Homestead and taking everybody out was like so hilarious. Alex Bowman's dog tweets and say, okay, you know, Finn's driving now, I'm going to eat an Uncrustable, or, you know, I really have to pee. You know, when they put Boyer in the studio interacting with Gordon, you know, and saying, I just got Bubba'd, and Boyer going, what happened? And then the resets and all that stuff. Hamlin's daughter, of course, like you mentioned, turning off the screen of his simulator while they were going. Bubba rage quitting. Remember that?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The rage quitting and stuff. And the other thing, too, remember we'd get up all these various Twitch streams because everybody was like streaming their own thing on Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
And when there'd be a wreck, you'd hear all them because that was like instant and the broadcast was like slightly delayed. And, you know, you'd hear them getting mad at each other, like Landon Castle be going like, oh, come on, man. Like, why'd you do that or something? And, you know, that was just great to hear them on they didn't play it on the Fox broadcast, but like they had like their team speak or whatever they used, like that they could hear each other talking. Yeah. And that was just really fun and hilarious. And people disconnecting. That was all just such a, and again, like I said earlier in the podcast, if you do it now, I'm sure they'll try to, you know, we know there's plans to do it next year, even on race weekends. Hey, we're going to show some iRacing and stuff because they're not going to have 3-day weekends. They're going to try to get more content. I'm going to have a much harder time getting into it, whether it's an off season series. You know, I really haven't watched, I know like some, you know, like the IndyCar drivers and a bunch of these people have like continued to stream stuff and, hey, we're doing this really cool race this week where, you know, different kind of cars or different tracks. But, you know, to me, like, you know, after all that in the spring, we got such a heavy dose of it. And then the Larson stuff, you know, that really took a lot of fun out of it during the Monza Madness, of course, where he comes on and says that thing. It's like, oh, gosh, now we're going to have to, like, monitor this for news or people rage quitting. I mean, it quickly started becoming not as fun. You know what I mean? So, a lot of these, again, a lot of the moments that I'm mentioning, if they happen now, I wouldn't think they're funny. But at the time, take yourself back to the lockdown and how much we were just craving any sort of normalcy. I mean, we thought it was hilarious that, you know, people were posting pictures of standing for the national anthem or whatever, you know, of the iRacing and stuff. And, we were all playing along with it. So at the time, that was the funniest stuff of the year for me. I just think that was some hilarious stuff, especially before they started taking it seriously and got good, you know?
Yeah. And I think, to me, I look back, you're talking about all this, and to me, it feels like forever ago. I mean, I know this just happened back in the spring, but it feels like 10 years ago. And so much has happened since then. And I remember how excited everybody was. And it was actually, you know, looking at it now, and it was cool to see a guy like Timmy Hill, you know, win a race and, you know, have some good runs and kind of come to the forefront a little bit and his personality. And he, you know, he had his moment at winning at Texas, and we wrote a story on him, and those little things like that that were really cool that came out of it. But I do remember back then it was a lot, and it was everybody was doing the iRacing. I mean, across all the series, and it was a lot. And I do remember Jimmy Johnson struggling. I don't know why, but you know, the 7-time champion and, you know, one of NASCAR's greatest, or maybe the greatest, depending on how you look at it, is not an iRacer at all. And it was interesting how it all, just everything transpired. And I forgot even about the national anthem. And remember, didn't we have like a flyover too or something, or a pretend flyover or something?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. That was like wild times, man. Wild times.
Yep. Well, that was only 8 months ago, if you can believe it. So, no. But I tell you what, I mean, from what I see in the news, it sounds like about 8 months from now, we're maybe about halfway. So 8 months from now, we should be getting back to some level of normalcy. So hopefully the funny moments next year, that will be about mid-season, maybe late summer, where we could all be back together again, where we could be back at the track and the drivers could be getting spicy again. There'd be fans in the stands, all that stuff. That makes it more fun and leads to some more hilarious elements as well. So, hopefully that'll be the case. In the meantime, we obviously have a lot to be thankful for, including our listeners. And that's not, it sounds cliche, but we really appreciate it because, mm-hmm. You know, if you also go back to earlier this year, there was some scary times. The Athletic had some layoffs. No sports were happening. You know, except for NASCAR had just come back. But I mean, it was some thin times. We didn't know if NFL was going to be able to have a season, college football. We didn't know if the NBA bubble was going to work, baseball, none of that. And we work for a subscription sports website. And that was some scary times. But you guys really showed your support. And we're both still here and planning to come back even stronger next year. So we really appreciate your support. We're very thankful for you. And very thankful to be able to bring you this sport and this podcast every week.
I am. Amen. I echo everything you said. I'm very thankful for our subscribers. We do what we do because of you. And I consider you guys part of the team. And so always appreciate the encouragement, the support, and everything you guys do for us. And let us keep doing what we do.
Well, maybe I should work in a sales pitch then, Jordan, because Black Friday is coming up. And, you know, the Athletic last couple of years has been sort of famous for their Black Friday deals. And I'm not allowed to say what it is, but I can tell you there will be a Black Friday deal. So why don't I just tell you how to find it? Because depending on when you hear the podcast. If you on Black Friday, if you go to theathletic.com/theteardown, you will see the Black Friday deal. Now, if you're listening to this before Black Friday, you'll go see a different deal now. That deal's not as good. So I would encourage you not to take that deal because you're gonna have a better deal on Black Friday. So come back on Black Friday to theathletic.com/theteardown and you will see, I would say, the deal of the year from what I understand will be on there. So that would be a great time to become a subscriber and catch up on all our stories and some more stories to come. Who knows what will happen this week. So and of course on the Teardown, we're not taking any weeks off yet. We'll be back with you next Sunday for another episode. I don't know what that theme is yet, but so far we've had a couple fun episodes, right? After this, after
the good discussion, off-season. good reflection on the year, and you know, last week I thought it was great looking at the races, and today was fun too. Just kind of looking at some in a year where, let's be honest, a lot of very heavy, serious things happened in NASCAR. It was kind of nice to just kind of take a look at some of the funny stuff and kind of the lighthearted moments. It was much needed, to be honest with you.
Yeah, for sure, and of course, I got the Was It a Good Season poll. I won that too, so that's hilarious. Hey, as well,
congratulations. Woo. I actually feel bad. I mean, it's stupid because I think the season was great. Oh, I don't want to talk about it anyway. These polls are stupid.
But if you won, you wouldn't say this. I'm pretty sure.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't care if I won. And
no, I have evidence of this. We can talk about this on another podcast anyway. Everybody, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Safe travels. Stay healthy, everybody. And we will talk to you next time on The Teardown.